We recently received a lengthy email from a young woman named Lilia Karimova. Lilia is 22 years old. She came to study in the United States from Tatarstan, one of the republics in Russia with a large Muslim population. In the post-Soviet era, Tatarstan has experienced something of an Islamic revival after decades of religious and cultural suppression. Lilia, too, has been struggling with her ethnic and religious identity. She came into our studio recently with her mother and shared her story.
I am a Tatar. The song you are hearing now is called Tugantel. It's about the power of the mother tongue. It's a musical metaphor for many Tatars like myself who do not know our native language. While my mother does speak Tatar, my father's command of the language is weak, so my parents spoke to us at home mainly in Russian. My mother remembers how it was in Soviet days.
До этого, когда мы жили в социализме, мы, например, находясь, если в обществе находилось 3-4 человека, и было 2 татар.
She says if 2 or 3 Tatars were speaking their native tongue in a bus or on the street, someone would come up and lecture them. Remember, you are in a public place. You should speak Russian. In the 15th century, Kazan, the capital of Tatarstan, was the center of the glorious Muslim state Volga Bulgaria. The city was conquered by Tsar Ivan the Terrible in 1552, and the area has been under Russian rule ever since.
Ну, в Казани, если говорить о Татарстане, то у нас есть такая...
Today, my mother proudly describes the restoration work underway to mark next year's celebration of the city's 1000th anniversary. For me, Kazan's most captivating image is its Kremlin. A majestic tower topped with a crescent, the symbol of Islam, stands side by side with the Russian Orthodox Cathedral. As a family, we observed and preserved only some Muslim traditions. My mother knew a few prayers, although I later learned her renditions of Arabic were not always correct. My upbringing was secular, and like other Soviet citizens, our main culture was Russian and communist. I was a member of the Young Pioneers, the bottom rung of a system leading to membership in a communist party. By the time I reached high school, the communist party had lost its power, and to be a member was more of an embarrassment than an honor. Although Tatarstan is still part of Russia, it has more political autonomy than other Russian republics. With this autonomy came Islamic fervor. Many new mosques were built. More and more women and girls started wearing the hijab, or veil. I had mixed feelings about it. On the one hand, I felt it was important that the Tatar people regain their national identity, revive their language and culture. On the other hand, I had grown up in a secular country. I had gotten some religious education, but at the same time, I was scared and confused. An opportunity came up for me to study in the United States, and I grabbed it. Here I met an American man who, as I then thought, would be the only man in my life. I knew I was breaking Islamic law and what my parents expected of me. But at that point, I believed genuine love could not be a sin. Unfortunately, things did not work out. After we separated, I felt crushed and lost, and the only one I could seek help from was God. I went back to Russia and got swept up in the Islamic fervor and traditional ways. I prayed 5 times a day. I wore a veil when I could. I was living in Moscow at the time, and wearing a veil could be dangerous on a Moscow street. While in Moscow, I began attending classes on Islam led by an imam from Turkey in a local mosque. He preached that secular education is harmful and that a sinful Muslim is better than a righteous non-Muslim. I struggled to accept his orthodoxy. I could not accept the fact that I could not open my mouth if I had a question. After all, I had a master's degree in professional writing and rhetoric. Since then, I've been struggling to define my own identity. I returned to the States where I met Razia and Iskander, an American Tatar family. Hospitality is an important Tatar custom. Razia and Iskander served me peremesh, traditional Tatar meat dumplings, and my favorite poppy seed rolls for dessert, and I felt at home. They told me their own story of ancestors fleeing the Bolshevik Revolution, migrating to China, and finally finding a true home in America. Here, they have preserved not only their Tatar cuisine, but culture and language. They and other American Tatars I met were well-educated. They believed in God and considered themselves good Muslims. But the women do not wear veils. They go to mosque only on special occasions and do not object if their children marry non-Muslims. Through them, I found there are no set answers to the questions I'd been grappling with. I still ask myself, who am I? Where do I come from? Where do I go now? Just like Tatarstan today, I'm on a journey to discover my identity, my history, my true self. And I hope this journey will lead my homeland and me on the right path, even if we are thousands of miles apart. Look after the trees that the nightingales sing in, the song says. Don't forget me, friends, in these faraway lands.
Lilia Karimova is a graduate student in Pittsburgh, Kansas. To see some pictures of her in Kazan and to hear traditional Tatar music, go to npr.org. Mm-hmm.